Like I say, good morning to everyone. And we're thankful this morning to have each and every person in it visiting with us, not a member of the Church of Christ. You're a very honored and distinguished guest. If you're in person with us, we appreciate you being here with us. If you're online, we welcome you to our online services as well. We pray that you will receive God's word with meekness this morning, for it's able to save your soul. Now, if you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you experience a New Testament pattern of worship where we sing. Without the help of mechanical instruments and music, everyone sings for themselves. That's why we're going to have a choir. And the Bible says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, the spiritual song, making melody in your heart to the Lord. So when singing is a worship to God, that's why we don't have pianos and fiddles and guitars and things like that up here, because music, we make melody in our hearts. So there is none of the Christians in the New Testament use instrumental music in worship. And someone said, well, David had instruments today. But David wasn't a Christian. There were no Christians in the Old Testament. Christians started worshiping in the New Testament, and they also took the Lord's Supper every Sunday. So if you don't take the Lord's Supper, you're not going to be saved, because this is a command. Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. If you're a church and you're not taking the Lord's Supper, the blood was shed for the remission of sins. Yeah, this is shed for many. You got to drink the blood every Sunday. This is a command from God. Amen. Now you got to be baptized too. You got to be washed in the blood. In baptism, there's blood in the water. We believe that. Why do we believe that? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so the Lamb was Jesus who suffered on the cross. And that same Lamb, shedded blood for the church. He purchased the church. It's his wife. He has but one. It's the Church of Christ. Now, most people are going to believe whatever they're going to believe. But I'm going to tell you, if you're really trying to get to heaven, you best line up with this book. There's nobody been to the graveyard and back and told us this book's wrong. What amazes me is how people say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the church. Well, this came from the same book. Your belief system is all warped. Really, you won't have no peace on your deathbed. Your only belief is in Jesus. You don't believe in the Bible now. Here's the thing you need to know about that. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You have to develop a faith. Faith is something hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Our faith don't come from seeing. None of us saw Jesus on the cross. We read about it. So then in Hebrews 11:6, God says through a word, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you don't believe the written word, you're never going to be saved. Because you're not going to get baptized. You're not going to be in the one church. You're not going to take communion. You're going to be doing things your way. And that's called an iniquity. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father. Many will say to me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out devils in your name, done many wonderful works? And Jesus said, I will plainly say to them, I never knew you. Which means you never had a relationship with God. So if you haven't been baptized, you don't have a relationship with God. If you're not in a true church, you don't have a relationship with God. Not take communion, you don't have a relationship. So what's going to happen in John 8:21, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. Now, why do I always say that at the beginning of my sermon? Because I want everyone to know. You know, you need to know that no matter all this preaching I'm going to do, if you are not saved, if you haven't obeyed the basic truth to be saved, you are in trouble. Yeah, you're in trouble. And I want everybody listening to me to always say, Brother Brooks told me up front the basic things that most people don't know. Now, this morning, I'm going to talk about the end of the world. You know, with this thing going on, the war in Ukraine and Putin talking about he's going to threaten with nuclear weapons, and then the president coming out talking about Armageddon, some folk are listening to those men. Now, up front, the world's not going to end through a nuclear bomb, first of all. You just need to know that. The Bible doesn't say that. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about the end of the world. I'm going to talk about Armageddon probably in my next sermon. And they use those terms to put fear in people. But you got to know the Bible. Here's what you don't want to do. You can die today. That's your Armageddon. Yeah, the worst thing that can happen to anybody is that you die in your sin. Or you're not ready when he comes back. That's what you should worry about. Now, there are a lot of people causing trouble in the church, but when God come back, this stuff you worrying about now ain't going to mean nothing. Folk fighting over stuff that have no meaning. What means something is, are we going to be saved? When is this end coming? Let's look at the Bible. I'm going to look at Matthew's account, and I'm gonna pretty much deal with Mark's account, but it's in Matthew 24, Luke 17, Luke 21, and then Mark 13. So this is a chapter where Jesus discusses the destruction of Jerusalem. And so many people have misapplied this. It's a prophecy that was fulfilled. And then he will answer the questions about the end of the world. In Matthew chapter, let's mark Mark 13 first. We'll come back to Matthew 24, and then we'll go to Luke 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to try to close it off. Now Mark 13 verse 1. Now if you're a good student of the Bible, do you want to take notes here? Right? You're going to want to take notes. You need to take notes because I'm going to give you some things that are going to be historical according to Josephus and Eusebius who were Jewish historians. Now, as he went out of the temple, I'm in Mark 13, 1, one of his disciples
saith unto him.
Now, one of his disciples asked him this question.
Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here.
Now, this is right before Jesus' death. Not long, he's going to die after this, not long after. So their question, his disciples said, now, he's talking about the temple. You know, they had some massive temple. Herod's temple was there. He's talking about the stones there. And what is it? It's one of the wonders of the world at the time, around AD 30, AD 70, pardon me. And then he says, and Jesus answered and said unto him,
seest thou these great buildings?
Now Jesus said, you see them building and y'all got to go there. He's talking to men who were with him then, right then. And they're asking him a specific question. He said, y'all see these buildings? Read on.
There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Now he's telling them, these buildings you look at don't get destroyed. Listen to what he said.
And he sat upon the Mount of Olives against the temple. Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately.
So now he's sitting down, and what he just said sparks the interest of these disciples. And so they asked him privately, said, now they said, tell us.
When shall these things be and what shall be
the sign?
He said,
now these buildings ain't gonna last, y'all. So they say, huh? This is Herod's temple. When is this gonna happen? Then he said, they asked him, what shall be the sign? Now you want to underline that part. If you're really trying to get this lesson and you came to learn, this is a point that's gonna resonate at the end of the sermon. They ask him, it says, what?
Be the sign.
Just shall be the sign.
When all
these things shall be fulfilled. Now turn back to Matthew's account. You want to write that down on your notes. If you go back and review this, I would encourage you to, if you're really trying to learn. Go back to Matthew chapter 24. Now in verse number 1. In Matthew 24 verse 1. This is not going to be a sermon to make you shout, but it should inform you. And anybody who's lost should not leave this building not getting baptized. Because this is going to be a dreadful day. Amen. Listen to the Bible.
And
Jesus
went out
and departed from the temple.
And his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple.
Matthew said it. Now Mark's account. These are called the synoptic gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are in sync. So you have Matthew telling what he heard, Mark telling what he heard, and Luke telling. That's why it's called, they're in sync. So that's why they're called the gospels. John is not in sync with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They don't tell all the same story. But here, Matthew, Mark, and Luke pretty much tells just a little different version of the same story. All truth though, right? So, no, here in Matthew's account, there are some things. And see, Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things?
Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Same thing Mark said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, read on.
And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be?
Now,
and what shall be the sign?
Now, Mark didn't tell them exactly everything they said, but here Matthew then says, tell us, when shall these things be? They were still talking about the destruction of the building. And then they asked two more questions. What shall be the sign? There come that sign. See that sign? So Mark's sign, right? What shall be the sign of what?
By coming.
Okay, there's a sign of his coming. Third question, and the end of the world. So the disciples specifically asked, many people today want to know these answers. Man, what's the sign of Jesus coming back? And when is the world going to end? No, not too many people worried about the buildings, the stones. That's not our current concern. Our current concern is when is Jesus coming back and when is this thing going to be over? Right? Am I by myself?
No, you ain't.
I thought all of us should be on the same page here. You can say amen because it is something we need to be ready for, right? We're not worried about the destruction of Jerusalem. That's what was getting ready to happen with Herod's temple. And it did happen. It was prophesied it was going to happen. Let's go back to Mark now. Mark 6:13-5. And I'll share that with you. And Jesus answered him, verse 5, began to say, he said, take heed lest any man deceive you. So be careful about who you listening to. President Biden is just a man. That's all he is. There's a man made from dirt just like you and I. He got a soul. He need to be baptized and for the remission of his sin. He need to become a member of the Church of Christ. Maybe this message will get to him. Yeah, we need to pray for our president, but he's not saved. He's not God, and he can't tell us when Armageddon is coming.
Amen.
Some of us get too tied up with politics. But I'm telling you, he's not my God, and he don't speak for God.
Amen.
You come out making statements like that and people don't know the truth. But we need to know the truth. This destruction of Jerusalem is a prophecy that was that's fulfilled. Listen, Mark count. He said, and Jesus answered him and said, take heed lest any man, don't listen to what people say. One lady came on because this green thing, everybody worried about the earth burning up because we got climate change. We see that going on, but God never said it was going to end that way. And then some woman came out and said, 12 years, the world will be over. And folk listening to that. He said, for many will come, shall come in my name, saying,
shall
I am who?
I am Christ.
Shall
deceive.
That was happening then, and it's still happening today. People trying to make predictions, act like they God. And when you hear what?
Wars and rumors of wars. But be ye not troubled.
Don't worry about the war. Didn't Jesus just say that? Y'all worried about Ukraine? You read about the little rocket man sending a rocket over here and killing us all? What did Jesus just say?
Be ye not troubled.
Don't worry about the war. That's not your concern. The war. Now, and rumors of war, but such things must needs be. It's gonna happen. War's gonna be happening. But notice what he said. Underline this in the students who are really taking notes. Underline this part.
But the end shall not be yet.
Say it again.
But the end shall not be yet.
Because there is a war in Ukraine does not mean that's the end. Do we believe that? All right. Now, here's the thing about it. I heard going up, man, you know, that's a sign of the end. We getting close to the end time. I'm talking about good people. My family, all Baptist people, good people. That we said stuff like that because we didn't read our Bibles. And you say, what, brother, we didn't read our Bibles. And I talk about my family, talk about yours. But we were Baptist because mom and dad were Baptist, and grandma and all them were Baptist. We didn't read our Bible. We ran out calling me and Reverend, Holy Reverend. The Bible said, Holy Reverend, God's name. We'd have read our Bible, we'd never call our uncles and them reverends. They'd have told us not to. And then we say stuff like this to them. Y'all know that's a sign of the end of time. That ain't what God said. There's always been wars. How many of y'all heard that? Old folks say that to you. I tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Stay in the church. Mm-hmm. Some folk ain't gonna tell the truth. I know where they told me that. And they're good people. All my people are good people. But we wasn't saved. Didn't take the Lord's Supper. Telling us to pray the sinner's prayer. Them Baptist preachers told us all that stuff. They still doing it. Franklin Graham on TV telling everybody, just accept where you are right now. Accept Jesus, your personal savior. Jesus never said that. Everybody flocked to that stuff. But Jesus already told many people going to be lost. And people listen to stuff like this. Jesus said, "Ain't that's not the end." Now, what do we believe? The war is the end of the world? Yes or no? We don't believe that. So you don't have to get all troubled up over this war in Ukraine. Somebody said, what about the pandemic? What do you mean? The pandemic, God could have stopped that thing. But he shut down a whole lot of sinful activity with it. He shut down Las Vegas. Made them go home. So then, shut down some of these Christians who wasn't being faithful. Made them have to look at death on the TV. Then they started listening to online service. Yeah. They wasn't going to church. But I started seeing so many people dying and getting on their respirators. God was using that pandemic to get our attention. Yeah, he was. So that doesn't mean it's the end of the world either. I believe the Bible. I don't know how many of y'all believe the Bible. I believe every word of the Bible.
Amen.
That word around here shook up over what folks say. I don't. And I don't take a whole lot of foolishness from people, even in the church. We have to be careful about that. They'll drive you crazy listening to some folk in the church. Yeah, all they want to do is trouble, trouble, trouble. Bunch of trouble. Jesus said, don't be troubled. Let not your heart be what? Trouble. You got to understand, some stuff, well, man, I tell you, sometimes some people say, stop right here. Man, but I don't even hear it. Then there are some things people say, go through it out the other ear. I mean, I didn't pick up much then. And there are some things people say, just stick. So some you ought to learn that too. You won't be so troubled because folk going to say all kind of crazy stuff. Just like they say there. Jesus, that's not the end. Now we got the politician telling us the end. But when you see, verse 14.
The abomination of...
But when you shall what? See, who he talking to at the time? Is he talking to us? No. Who's he talking to?
His disciples.
Who asked him the questions?
John.
Who was with him at the time? So they gonna see something you and I ain't gonna see. When you see... What's
the
they gonna
abomination
see? The abomination
of desolation
spoken of
by Daniel the prophet.
They gonna see something that Daniel prophesied that was gonna happen. Read.
Standing where it ought not.
Mm-hmm.
Let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in
Judea
flee to the mountains.
So he said, now he's telling them, you're going to see a destruction, the abomination of desolation. I'm saying, he's saying, you're going to see some stuff destroyed. Abomination is Webster described, a disgusting act, a neglected state is a desolation. And so in other words, what's going to happen? These temples are going to come down. They're going to be destroyed by war. He said it was spoken of in Daniel. So Daniel had already said it. And when he said, now Jesus said, now go back to Luke 21:20. Go to Luke 21. Remember, it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke 21:20. Luke 21:20.
And when ye shall see Jerusalem
come past.
See,
he said in that text, he says more specific, when you shall see what? Who?
Jerusalem.
What? Houston?
Jerusalem.
Dallas?
Jerusalem.
Ukraine?
Jerusalem.
Russia?
Jerusalem.
None of that. He said, you gonna see this happen in Jerusalem. See that? Mm-hmm. When you see in Jerusalem,
compassed with armies,
then know
desolation.
It's the armies that gonna come past Jerusalem that gonna cause the desolation. Is that simple enough? You don't have to have no PhD to get this, right? You just gotta believe. Jerusalem means
Jerusalem.
It's not talking about us. Not talking about America. This was going to happen in Jerusalem, and they would see it with their eyes. I mean, they would still be living when it happened. Are they dead now? So this doesn't happen already. Go back to Mark's account. Mark 13. All the students are taking notes. All the students are writing down scriptures. All the students are going back and review what I talked to them about. All the students can listen to the sermon again. It's recorded. A good student, review. Good students, study. Good students, review. Hey man, what good do students do?
Review.
What good students do?
Review.
Review. Take notes. Review. Go see it again. Study it. Don't just come here and listen to me 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour, whatever I do, and expect to grow. You're not going to grow. You didn't learn how to count like that. You didn't learn your ABCs like that. You went to school, didn't you? Did we not go to school? If you want to grow spiritually, come here and be a student. Go to school. Consider this as lecture. I'm lecturing you. You're a student in a spiritual school. And be faithful to your studies so you'll get an A. Amen. If you're not faithful to your studies, you'll get an F. I mean, failing, and the failing will be your soul salvation. You need to know what the Lord is saying. But when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him read it, understand, then let them in Judea flee to the mountains. Standing in where it ought, talking about Jerusalem, verse 25, go to Matthew 24 now.
Mm-hmm.
And go to verse 15. He said again.
When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand.
Understand what?
Then let him which it be in Judea flee into the mountains.
Exactly. It's going to happen there. So this is real, we should understand that with this desolation, what I'm talking about was a prophecy of destruction of Jerusalem. And people would be fleeing to save their soul. Now, many of the people who were Christians and disciples, he told them they was going to be okay. They was going to make it out of Judea. They was going to be able to flee. He's warning them. Go back to Matthew 13, 15. Let him that is on the housetop 13. Not go down into the houses, neither enter therein, 13, 15, to take anything out of his house. People often, they have flat home, flat roofs, and they would sleep on the house. So he's telling them how to protect themselves when all this happens. And let him that is in the field not turn back again to take up his garment. I'm in Mark 13, 16. What happened? Don't go back and get your coat. When that army come to take out Jerusalem, y'all head out of here. That's what he's telling his disciples. Get out, flee. Verse number 17, but woe
to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days.
So he tells the mothers who have children to be aware of this happens. It's going to be difficult to travel with your children when you try to flee to Judea. Right? Watch what he says.
And I pray that your flight not be in winter.
And what he's praying is that they don't have to do this. They don't have to leave during the winter time. So he's warning his disciples. He's warning women with children. He's saying his prayer is that this destruction, these army don't come in Jerusalem during the wintertime. That's what Jesus said. Now, history, there are some guys called Jewish historians for the students of the Bible. The name is Josephus and Eusebius. These, just like we have American historians, they tell the story of America, right? That's how you know about the forefathers and the Constitution and all that. They weren't there. The history recorded. So what they recorded that in A.D. 70, the Christians of Jerusalem did, in fact, make their escape in this war. And Eusebius, the church historian, tells us that they fled to Pelea and Perez east of the Jordan. Josephus, the Jewish historian, described the siege of Jerusalem in A.D. 70 as one of the most terrible events of all history. That's what happened. So it's recorded in history. These same guys record in history about Jesus coming to Jerusalem. That's in the history books. So if you're looking at history of Jerusalem, then these are the historians that you want to read about. Now, so what they said, it actually happened. Where did it happen at? Jerusalem. What happened in Jerusalem?
Destroyed.
Huh?
Abomination.
Abomination. Desolation of what? The temples. They were torn down. Who came in? Who did it? The armies. Remember, they would seize them. So this would be armies coming in to take over Jerusalem and to destroy the temples. That's all happened. When did it happen?
AD 70.
Who saw it?
Disciples.
Disciples. Who was there? Disciples. Who warned them? Christ. Jesus. Was he alive when he told them?
Yes.
So that has nothing to do with us. Now let's go back to Matthew 13, 18. We get to the part that's going to deal with us. But he said for Mark 13, 19. I know I'm working you. I'm running you back and forth. But you ought to be ready for me by now. Praise my name of Jesus. Yes, sir.
For in those days shall be
affliction. Yeah, he got there. In those days, what days?
The end days.
Yeah, those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning
of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be.
Jesus, in those days would be far greater than anything ever happened before. Read on, except.
And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days.
See, the armies could only go so far. God had control of the whole situation. It was going to happen in Jerusalem, but he had control of it, and he stopped it. He stopped it for the elect's sake, right? Whom he had what? Who are the elect? That's children of God. Now, if you have not been baptized, you're not among the elect. I need to say that again. You're not among the elect if you haven't been baptized. The elect are washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Man.
Baptism is for the remission of sins. You can't join the church of Christ. You have to obey God. to being the elect. The elect are children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. When a person don't obey God, you can't be his child. It begins with believing the Bible. Second to that, you must obey the Bible. And the Bible said to become an elect, one must be born again of the water at baptism and of the Spirit. That's obedience. So it's clearly the visitors should be hearing me now that you are not elect. You say, well, that's kind of harsh. Why? Don't you want to be? Why would that be considered harsh? That's what God said. Amen. The elect are members of the church of Christ, the only church in the Bible. You say, brother, brother, I just don't believe that. Because you don't believe the Bible. The problem is not, brother, brother. The problem is your belief. It doesn't come from the scripture. If it came from the scripture, you would believe one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, one body which is the church. You can't believe but one if you believe this book. You might not like it, but you have to deal with God. I wouldn't advise you to box with him. Your arm's too short.
Amen.
Yeah, no, you don't box with God. He said all of sin and follow what? Short.
Of the glory of God.
Of the glory of God. Your arm's too short to be doing that. So, okay, now, that you can find the children or the elect in Ephesians 1:4. Write these down, students. Ephesians 1:4, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4, 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. So God simply shortened the siege of Jerusalem. Now, let's go back to Mark now in verse 21. He says, then if any man
shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not.
Mm-hmm.
For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall shew signs and wonders to seduce, and if it were possible, even the elect.
If it was possible.
But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things, but in those things after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light.
Hold it right there. Jesus had warned them at the beginning of this whole discussion, didn't he? Y'all hear his warning to them? He warned them about false teachers and deceivers. He said, don't be deceived by these people. Let me tell y'all something. America is filled with preachers, women and men, just telling people anything. Godspeed today. When people will start listening to the word of God and stop listening to what folk is saying. Amen. That's what's going on in this world we live, especially in America, under the umbrella of Christianity. People just tell you whatever they want. What you want, everything sounds good. As long as our heart is right, right? Oh, we all good. I'm too blessed to be stressed. You ain't blessed if you haven't been baptized. You don't have no spiritual belief. You can't pray. Do you know that people who have not been baptized cannot even pray to God? Bible says John 9:30, this we know God here is not a sinner. Amen. People, you don't believe that? And then people are praying anyway. Well, why are you praying anyway if you believe the Bible? If you believe the Bible, even Christian, you know you're living in sin. Then you're down there on your get up. You know you're living in sin. You know you ain't living right. You know you ought to be married and you shagging. You're down on your knees every night. Get up. That prayer is not heard. You need to repent. People who are not worshiping, not doing what's right, gotta repent to be. So why don't you just forgive? People have to repent. You can't even receive forgiveness until a person repents. God won't forgive you until you repent. You say, who knows they repented or not? God know. He'll know. You can't lie. You can lie and deceive me, but you can't fool God. Nobody can. So what are you saying, brother? Better take heed this warning that Jesus is giving them. Go back to Matthew 24. So because I done got into their home now. They don't like that part. All up in their life. And then to the visitor. I am not saying every member of the Church of Christ is going to heaven. I'm not saying that. There are some members of the Church of Christ. They're living in sin willfully. They know what they're doing. They know it's wrong. And they are lost as the person who never been in the church.
Amen.
They have to repent. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you'll perish. I don't know about you. The older I get, the less stuff I want to be dealing with these days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be dealing with it. And then you know sinful folk around you acting up. Pray for them. Pray, pray that you don't get caught up in that. Folk will take you down with them. Matthew 24, sorry, look at that. Matthew 24:1. He said, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of his temple. Back to the same text, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, that there shall not be left one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. I've explained all that. Mm-hmm. And he said up on the mount of olives, the disciples came unto him saying privately, tell us what shall these things be? What shall be the sign of their coming and the end of the world? So we answer the first two. So here come the second two. Go back to Mark now. You say, why are you going back and forth? Because the details in all of them I want you to see. And plus I'm making application on everything I can think of. I'll speak. Everything come to my mind, I'm making application. The world gonna come to an end, yes. If it comes to an end this morning, are you okay? Have you repented? Have you been baptized? Are you causing problems? Are you living in sin? Are you willfully living in sin? This is what's important. Listen to the book.
And then
in those days, verse 24.
But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened.
Watch this now. This is something else getting ready to happen. Here comes something. And the sun shall be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall. And the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then, watch this. Remember I told you the word sign? And then shall they see
the Son of Man.
Whoa. What is the sign? He said, then shall they see. They see who?
The Son of Man.
Who is the Son of Man? Christ. Coming in the clouds.
With great power and glory.
This is an awesome event. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. Y'all see, the sun gonna get dark, the moon won't be shining, the stars in heaven gonna be falling, and the powers are in heaven shaking. That's all the stars and everything, moons and planets, everything shook up. They talk about flying to Mars. This gonna be a day when Mars gonna be moving around. There's gonna be some stuff happening, man, and they shall see. And then all of a sudden, there's gonna be this magnificent appearance of who? Jesus the Christ. This is going to be an awesome event. And no matter how awesome it is, as I told you, when we get to, when I start talking about, Armageddon, the people going to want to die and death runs. You don't see that happen today. Death ain't running from nobody. He's sitting right next to you right now, hoping you ain't listening. Death sitting there, right there, he said right by you, hope you never get baptized. He don't want you drinking his blood. He don't want you believing what you're reading in this book. Devil don't want it.
Amen.
Now he right there. Yeah. Death went to a man's house and knocked on the door. He said, hey, your wife here? He said, no, she ain't here. He said, well, you'll do. Yeah, he took right here and took care of him. He'll do it. It probably bring his money. Yeah, you and two. Some of them just caught it. A while ago, they just caught it. Yeah. Death is sitting right there. He's standing right. He's a shadow next to you. Just waiting for God to say when. He hope and pray, even though there's water here. There's so many people will leave. They'll walk out time and time again. Do you know every time you do that, you obey the devil? People walk in the building, don't repent, don't make confession. You obey the devil. You can't be a child of God and a child of devil. You're either one or the other. Somebody said that's kind of hard. Now, well, I say you're going to heaven. If I say you can't go to heaven, what does that mean? I don't have to say you're going to hell. I just say you can't go to heaven. That's nicer, but you get the same point, don't you?
Amen.
Let's go back to Matthew 24. Y'all ready for me to stop this one?
Oh, you know, good job.
It's educational, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of education. I'm not going to stop anyway. I'm going to finish. just having fun. Matthew 24:30. Now watch this. Don't miss this point. He's answering the last question. And then shall appear what?
The sign.
Okay. The sign
of the Son of Man.
Of the Son of Man in heaven. The only way we gonna know that the world has come to an end is when you see Jesus coming. And let me tell you something. The Bible said the clouds are the dust of his feet. Do you realize how huge that gonna be when Jesus show up in here? Y'all think he'll show up like a little old man or something? The whole world, everybody gonna see him at the same time. We might have to get an airplane to fly all the way across the world. I don't know how long it would take, but everybody on every side of the globe gonna see Jesus at the same time. Oh, here gonna be your sign. The Son of Man in heaven, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and then shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. That's the Christians. You're gonna get them out, you're gonna take them up, they're gonna take them up with him. He's coming back. Remember he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, my Father's house, of many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place, but when I'm coming again, take you unto my, he's coming to get his church. Now, who is his church? His wife. What's she wearing? A robe? What kind of robe? A white robe. It's been washed in the blood of Lamb. Yeah. He's coming to get his wife. That's the church. It's Christ's wife. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Listen to what I get. 1 Corinthians 15:24.
Then cometh the end. Mm-hmm. And when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For
then when he gonna put down all rule, authority, and what?
For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet.
He's coming. Then come at the end when he shall give up power. Remember, see, when he got up in grace, he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. In Matthew 28. When he come back, he's coming back to deliver up the kingdom, which is the church, back to the Father. So in that marriage ceremony, the husband will always take the bride back to the Father's house. That's why he said, my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus was telling them right here, when you see this happening, it's going to happen in a way that you don't know when it's coming, like a thief in the night. It's not going to give you warning. Not going to thunder real loud or nothing. Are we getting there? Making it clear? Now he said, he shall send his angel with a great sound of what? Of a trumpet. Of a trumpet. You see that in verse 20 and 31? You gonna stay with me, ain't you?
First,
Mark 24, 31.
Oh, we're back. Okay.
I think I got him all cross-eyed over.
Woo!
It's all right to be cross-eyed, but make sure you're looking at the right cross.
That's right.
The red cross. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Everybody there? Go back to verse 30 since I may have threw everybody else off too.
Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done.
Where you at?
Mark chapter 13.
Matthew 24. What'd I say?
Mark.
Okay. I need glasses. Matthew 24. 30. Start at the verse 30.
And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
Yeah.
And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
That's right. Listen to verse 31.
And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Now learn a parable.
Hold on right there. Great sound of a trumpet. Heaven, here's the point. There's going to come a day. And Revelator wrote it like this, Revelation chapter 7. You don't have to go there. Pretty much he said there's going to be four angels standing on four corners of the earth. And they were going to be holding back the wind and everything, holding back. This is a holding back judgment of the end. And then he said there will be another angel coming down, descending out of heaven. And this angel said, hey, don't hurt them yet until they are sealed with the seal of the living God. And then he said, I see the seal of the living God. 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel, they got to be sealed. 144,000 of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 of the tribe of Benjamin, and 12,000 of the tribe of Joseph. And then John said, I beheld and I saw a number that no man could number. He said, who are these that are arrayed in white robes? And John said, they only asked him, what is it? He said, these are they that came out of great tribulation and have their robe, watch this, washed white in the blood of the Lamb. So when that all happens, he's coming to get the white robes. And those people who've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, who's drinking the blood, who in the blood purchased church, been washed in the blood, that's the only thing that'll keep your robe white. And then these people going to be with God. It's Revelation chapter 7. Y'all read the whole chapter. Mm. But he said, God will be with them. He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no crying, no more dying, nothing. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
But who know this? Verse 35 of Matthew 24. He said, heaven and earth, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass. What I say is going to stand. Read what he says next.
But of that day and hour knoweth no man.
Except Biden.
No man.
Ocasio-Cortez.
No man.
She said 12 years.
No man.
He said if they blow the bomb, we're going to be in Armageddon.
No man.
No man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But he said, as in the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Y'all remember what happened with Noah? That ark floated on water. Didn't it float?
Mm-hmm.
Only people saved in it. They were saved because they was in the place and the water saved them. Why? It lifted up the boat. Water saves the day. But it'll kill you if you don't do right.
Mm-hmm.
What you going down the water? Get baptized. You don't go down to drink it. You go down and get baptized in it. But it's going to slip up on them like in the days of Noah. They didn't know the flood was coming. In verse 32 of Mark.
But of that day and that hour, now watch no man.
Jesus said it in Mark count a different way. He said, of that day and that hour, talking about the end of the world, no man. Do we have to listen to a man now?
No.
No. Jesus said, no man knows. So take that off your trouble worries. Don't worry about what man say. Number one. Number two.
No, not the angels.
Angels can't even come down and tell us about it. They don't know. These are heavenly beings. They up there with God. And didn't even go a step farther.
Neither. The Son.
Who?
The Son.
You saying Jesus. Jesus saying, I don't even know. If Jesus said, I don't know, where am I going to listen to Alan Gulick for? I'm looking over there and he looking at me like he know. He don't know nothing. Yeah. You don't listen to no man. And then he said, Jesus said, I don't even know when it's going to happen. The Father going to make that decision. But it's going to be a bad day when you, man, it's a terrible thing to follow the hand of the living God. Everybody wants Jesus. They forgot there's a Father. The Father loved them. He gave him, he loved the world. John 3:16. His Father gave his Son. His Father, according to Isaiah 53, his Son saw the travail of his Son. The Father of God was watching them when they slapped his Son. He was watching them when they spit on him. He was watching them when they beat him with the whip. He was watching when they hung the crown of thorns on his head. They were watching him when they put the tree on his back. Hey, God the Father was looking. When they drove nails in his child's hand.
Mm.
Yes, sir. He was looking. And it was that night, it was that day, his Son went to the cross because he did the will of his Father. And now his Son said, my daddy, my Father, there's only one going to say when this world going in. Only one. And some of us better understand that Father who you got to deal with. When Jesus said, I'm going to put down all rule and authority, you got to deal with daddy then. You don't want to deal with him. You don't want to deal with God the Father. You don't want to face judgment outside of the true church. You don't want to face judgment not being washed in his child's son. His son's blood purchased the church. His son's blood will wash your sins away. His son's blood you must take every week. Amen. Oh, you got to deal with daddy.
Amen.
And Paul said to you who are troubled, rest with us. That's 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. To you who are trusted with us. Everybody get that reading.
2 Thessalonians 1:1.
I know I'm rushing now. I'm going to close it out like this. Slow that one down. Then he said, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. Here it is, with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them. In flaming
that know
fire.
Not God, and that obey not the gospel.
No, here's the fire. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know who?
Not God. And that
obey. Who is it that don't know God? I have my boy working, I'll show you. You separate from God. Anybody separated by sin, imagine this. It's a separation. Separation from God. You can't know him until the sin is out your life. How do you get sin out your life? Baptism for the remission of sins. Living like he told you. They know not God because they obey not the gospel. What is obeying the gospel? A death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is a death, burial, and resurrection. The old sinner is dead and must die. You bury him under water. A child can understand what I'm saying. It's just like putting a dirty towel in water. You put him in water, ain't nothing in there, it's going to come up dirty. But you put water and bleach in it, you're going to come up clean. What's going to clean up the sinner? Water and blood. It's in there. Y'all don't see no blood, you ain't see Jesus either.
Mm.
You believe it. That's going to wash away your sin. Amen, Juan. He said, now, I'm coming to take vengeance. When I show up in the sky, I'm coming to get these people. They don't know God, and they obey not the gospel. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. That's it. That's it, Church of Christ. That's it. Here's what we need to understand. All of us understand the end is coming, but what could come before the end is your death.
Amen.
That's what we need. All of us need to know that from the pulpit to the back door. Every one of us needs to understand that we can't just live willfully in sin and get to heaven. It's not going to happen. Amen. Why do we preach every week? Why do we come here every week? Because we know there's things in our life we got to get right. We know what to do to get it right. What you do to get it right? Obey God. How do you obey God if you're not a Christian? Number one, you got to hear the story, the gospel story. The one I just told, how God so loved you, he gave his son. If this won't bring you to him, nothing will. God, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. What he was saying, if they can see how much I went through, if that person see what I suffered, if you let them see how I suffered and executed by crucifixion on the cross, if you lift that person up between to somebody who want to become a Christian, they'll start crying. Because that God gave his son, and that son gave his life, and it was a painful death, it was a suffering death, and he stayed on that cross 6 long hours for you and I. You believe that with all your heart. Number two. You got to hear about it. Number two, you got to believe it. Number three, you got to repent. Wait a minute. You can't keep leaving and not obeying God. At some point, you got to make a decision. When you know you're going the wrong way, repentance is turn and go the right way. That's what repentance is. And that applies to Christians and non-Christians. Amen. Then you must be baptized. Then you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You do that. Matthew 10:32, he said, if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. You deny me, I'm going to deny you. That's Matthew 10:32-33. So what do you got to do? This morning you come down, you say, Brother Brooks, I'm not leaving today. Not like this. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I would say you're a wise man or woman. You're a wise person. Yes, sir. You're wise. Yeah. That's wise. Then we'll baptize you. Why? For the remission of sin. I said it 10 times. I know it is. Acts 2:38 is a scripture. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized every morning in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16. Arise, thou cherished, thou be baptized. Wash away your sins. Calling on the name of God. That's when you can start praying. And then to the members of the church. You got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. You got to be faithful to the Lord. It's a relationship. You got to be faithful to the Lord. Not to me, to the Lord. You got to be faithful to the Lord. I got to be faithful to the Lord. All of us got to be favored. Ain't nobody going to get away. Don't think you that big in the church. You're not that big in the church. Ain't no preacher going to get away. Ain't no sister going to get away. Ain't no brother going to get away. We have to live right to make heaven our home. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, church. And you know when you're not living right. And you know when you are living right. Amen. Don't we, y'all? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Now, what did I just do? Speak the truth in love? What should you have learned from this lesson? The end of the world is coming, but nobody know but God the Father. So don't worry about what's going on with the wars and rumors of war. Stop all you worrying about all that. Now he could loose a nuke and you get some of that fallout. Just mean you're going to die. But it's appointed a man wants to die. Some people going to die heart attack. Some going to die from car wrecks. Some going to die in their sleep. Some going to die from radiation. So I'm going to die in war. How are you going to die? Well, the best way to die is in the Lord.
Amen.
But the Bible said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. You get in the Lord by being baptized. You stay in the Lord by living favor. That's a good sermon. I did good this morning, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. If you're here today and you want to become a Christian, I want you to come walking down now. And then if you came and visit with someone, do this for me. If you brought a visit, you asked, do you want to go down there? I'll go with you. And we got to get back to trying to save the church. We got to get back. They're trying to save the world. We got to start bringing visitors. We got to start trying to save the soul of mankind. Don't let the devil take away the zeal of saving souls. We need to save souls. Amen. If you just didn't get it, I'll have a class with you one-on-one called our VIP class. If you need more than what I gave you this morning, we will spend all day to help you save your soul. I don't know who else going to offer that in Houston. But that's what we offer. So what are we going to do? What's the name of your sermon? Or your song? A song?
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Lord, I want to be a Christian. Anybody want to be a Christian?
Amen.
And then he said, a song that, Lord, I want to be. I'm praying right now. There's some people in this room that want to be a Christian. Or maybe somebody out there listening. You hit 5-star on your phone and you tell Brother Tim them, I want to be a Christian. And no matter where you are, you don't have to be in Houston. We'll find your Church of Christ close to you. They will baptize you today. I know they will. If you want our call, or you listen on YouTube, or Facebook Live, whatever it is, you just tell us what your name. We will take care of the rest. Tell us where you're located. You can do it. If you're in Houston, drive on over here. Water here is ready. The church is ready. On with church. We got water. We got clothes. We got something for your hair. Angels on standby. They're going to rejoice when you obey the gospel. We praying for you because we want you to be in our family as well. Is that good? That's a good one. The end of the world is going to come when God says so. That's the end of this lesson. Wouldn't you come right now? But as together we stand and sing a song of praise.
Lord, I want to be a Christian. In my heart.
Who want to be a Christian?
In my heart.
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
I want to be a Christian.
In my heart.
Who want to be a Christian?
In my heart. In my heart.
In my heart.
In my heart.
Jesus, come to me.
In my
can't you hear Jesus calling?
In my heart.
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Lord, I want
to come home.
To be like
Lord, I want to give my
Jesus
life right today. Wouldn't you come to him?
In my heart.
Wouldn't you come to him this morning? Somebody need to restore
in
the kingdom.
In my heart.
You need to come back home. God needs you. He wants you to work in his kingdom. To be busy about your Father's business. Wouldn't you come?
In my
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my
heart. I really didn't mean